Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast with yours truly, B Thang, with the homie Bengals Drake. Took about a week off, kind of trying to recalibrate after the, quick wittiness of what free agency does for this podcast. Some emergency pods we had a lot, and before the draft. So kind of had a little bit of downtime recalibrating and starting up this other pod. Drake, how you doing, bro?
Doing great, doing great. We got the NFL draft here. It's Thursday as we're Wednesday night. You guys will listen to this on a Thursday, probably Friday, whenever. But the draft's right around the corner, a few weeks away, and I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling great. See the
Good,
calendar
bro.
I posted today?
Nah, what was it?
Think you liked it on Twitter. It was because Eric was saying how so far away football, I miss it. And I showed the calendar because, as you said, the NFL has the best like off season layout, right? So you got the draft here, and then a few weeks after that you got rookie mini camp, then you got summer, then you got training camp, then you got preseason, and then you got regular season football, and it all happens in the span of 1 month, 1 month, 1 month. So you got something going on.
Yep, that's right. I definitely do remember liking that. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it ad nauseum on this pod, and just like you laid out, bro, let that be a sigh of relief for every fan. That's football. I mean, dude, we are 12 weeks removed from the Bengals' last football game. That's insane, bro. In the off season, yeah, bro. I think fuck, I'd have to keep track of how many weeks we got till preseason football. This is what we talked about a lot last year, right? Like really training camp for me personally. Like training camp is where it gets fun for us fucking nerds, right? Like us Bengals nerds, like we're all in on that training camp shit. So once that begins, bro, that's like I don't know. Like starting the last week of July, that's not that far away, bro. I mean,
Exactly, bro.
July. That's holy fuck, bro. Holy fuck. Wait a sec. April, May, June. Oh, fuck. Wait. Oh, it is April. May, June, July.
It's right,
Three and a half months.
telling you, bro. It's right. It's gonna fly. It's gonna fly.
3.5 months till training camp, bro. Listen to this, y'all. 3.5 months till training camp begins. 3 months ago was the last Bengals game. Oh my God, bro. Next week we're gonna be halfway through the offseason till training camp.
Yep.
It's 3 a.m. on a Wednesday night, like you said, Tuesday morning. I'm lit now. That's crazy. And like you said, bro, the best part of it all is the NFL, how they formulate this fucking offseason, always keeping you engaged. You got the waves of the up, the down. Oh, but the other way is coming. The up, the down. It ain't done yet. The up and the down. So, yeah, I mean, this episode is going to be a kind of quick firing one, but we got a lot of juice on this episode. So, Drake, let's go ahead and get into some of that juice, bro. Diggs news today. Pretty crazy, bro. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, at first look, I texted you this morning. I told you I was a little irrational. I was kind of looking like I was on that side, man, that other side, which I'm not on that side. I will say that right now. But to really put it into emphasis of what I'm talking about, it's like you see Diggs go to, get traded to Houston for that second rounder. Well, I don't know if people saw. You definitely saw, but Diggs. He was on Twitter tweeting his thumbs yesterday, and I think the Bills just got fed up with it. I know it's been in circles and kind of swirling for some time now, but he basically it was something along the lines of him pretty much making Josh Allen what he is today, and I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, yes.
Not at all.
In terms of, having that wide receiver, that's awesome. But Josh Allen is a damn good quarterback. And that, at the end of the day, you don't want a guy like that in your locker room. And they got him out. And I give credit to them because they took on that dead cap and they said, we're gonna sacrifice this. We're not gonna deal with it. We're gonna wash our hands now, get it done with. Love Curtis Samuel. We put him in our offseason mock and whatnot. To sign with the Bengals, I love that signing for them. I think he's a potential upgrade over Gabe Davis. Still got Shakir, but to kind of move it to like a T. Higgins situation and how I view it, right? Second round pick to Houston. I forget what else was the, do you remember like the full?
Yeah. So here's what the compensation was. Here's where it gets crazy. Diggs, a fifth and a sixth. Texans second. That's where it got wild for people. They're like, what does that compensation really mean? Like, that's where it gets kind of in the weeds. Like, what is the actual compensation number of this? Because there is a number that the, you know, draft evaluation and the teams go by. Like, here's what a number one pick is worth. It's like 9,000 points.
Right.
Like, on, like, it would take King's ransom, bro, especially in a situation like this. So you look at it, like, what does that mean? Like, two picks and a player? For one pick? Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bills got what they got, bro. You know, and, I mean, the Texans gave up what they gave up. But, yeah, you know, obviously you can kind of allude to what you're meaning on what that could mean for T.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people would look at that situation. You know, Diggs still a good receiver. You know, he's still putting up numbers. It's not like you can't act like he's fell off face of earth because he still is one of the best receivers in the game. But you know, you look at it, he's 30 years old. And you compare it to T. Compare it to T. A lot younger, 24 years old. And I just, in terms of what the Bengals would view for T, at first I looked at it like, oh my gosh, they trade Stephon for a second. Like, wow, we're not going to get shit for T, right? Because we know how good Stephon is. That's no hate towards T. Yeah. But it's like, and you put in the age factor and you think about the future and upside. Like, Stephon, you never know, right? You never know with how guys fall off in the matter of a year. I mean, we saw with Antonio Brown. Not to say, I'm not trying to compare that situation, but you never know, right? And I think you're in a situation with T where it's like, there's a lot more value there. There's a lot more upside and ceiling for the future, right? You got like six, you could say six prime more years plus of T. Higgins versus say a two or three of Stephon, and they only get him on that, you know, I think he has what, 2 years on his deal or something like that. But you get T, you know that you're signing him to a long-term extension. You know you're keeping him there for probably until he's out of his prime. So you're getting a really good wide receiver if you do trade for him. So I couldn't see at this point. If anything, when I reevaluated my thought and looked at it, it's like Bengals would get more than that. Bengals would definitely get a first rounder and probably a fourth or something like that. And I think, and you look at it, they tag him this year. Next year, depending on how that wide receiver draft class looks, I mean, they could get even more value next year.
Yep, that's it, bro. Yeah, you laid it out pretty well there. It's like the only similarities between Stephon Diggs and T. Higgins is the position they play.
Right.
Like, value discrepancy is massive. But people won't see that when they look on his face of, oh, a wide receiver was traded for XYZ value. And yeah, like you said, bro, like, look, that Bills offense has been amongst the best 4 years. Stephon Diggs has been a diva 3 out of the 4 years he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of there. Like, if you can't make great things happen in Buffalo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, Stephon Diggs has been a perennial all-pro type player. And he's been a diva like that, though? Like, in trade value? That fucking matters. What personality are we bringing to this
locker? He was a diva in Minnesota, wasn't he?
In Minnesota. Indeed, bro. Yes.
That's what got like, traded.
This dude's a fucking diva. Exactly. He's a diva, bro. Like, that also drops value. What culture are you bringing? Ugh. I'm not saying he's a horrible dude. He's a fucking baby.
And people, and the thing is, when you're putting a locker room together and everything, like, it's all about that chemistry. It's all about energy and all that. And I think they definitely have a really fucking good team. So I don't want people to think I'm, you know, get that misconstrued because Stephon, Joe Mix and all that. But it is kind of crazy. It is kind of crazy how the narrative switches, right? It's like with Joe Burrow, it's like, oh, he was carried this, that, and another. And it's like with CJ Stroud, it's like, oh, you're building around him. This is the blueprint, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That's cool. You saw what Joe Burrow posted today, didn't you? Right after the trade.
Yep. What was it again? Like, stay focused, something like that? Like,
let's see here. Let me pull it up because I made the graphic to it. He said, blinders on, goal-oriented.
Yep. I mean, look, don't focus on the outside distractions of what others are trying to create because, like, you can't dictate any of that.
Exactly.
You know, that was the way that I could break it down to be like that. I mean, yeah, bro. Look, I was bringing this up earlier with Ace and Zim and Brady. Like, because we were talking about the Colts as well. The Colts are still in the heat of that situation. They could be fun. Type. Like, if there's players in the league, the most hated team, polarizing between I hate them versus I fuck with them, is the Chiefs because they keep fucking winning. Patriots were there. The Steelers used to be there. I hate them because I'm tired of them winning. I want them to see them fall. The Texans, they haven't proved enough yet, bro. Fans and teams hate on the Bengals because we've proven it already. And then their rebuke would be, oh, you think you're such hot shit, you haven't won a bowl. Why am I so significant to you then?
Right.
Why? I'm just a little old me. I'm just a little ringless bandit. I do that all the time. Condescending fuck, bro. Like, why are you listening to me? I'm just a little old me. Just a little old B things. Like, I'm just a little ringless bandit. Like, of course I'm important. You show it to me with how you fucking respond to all my comments and why you hate the Bengals so much. Like, that's where a lot of fans are, bro. So that's why, like, because Joe went nuclear and went to a fucking Super Bowl. Like, CJ Stroud won one game. One playoff game. He played elite.
Or right? Joe you forgot Joe Mixon is a top running back now.
Interesting. Oh, DJ Reader's a top 10 defensive lineman. You see that fucking post?
No.
Oh, my God, bro. You didn't see that dirty ass shit, bro?
No.
Bro, first of all, everybody listening, 33rd team is fucking trash.
No, they didn't. They did not do that.
That page, bro, it's either 33rd team or Pro Football Network, bro. DJ Reader, 7th fucking best defensive lineman in the league.
And that's up there with 3 techs.
Up there, all of them.
What? Personal.
All of them.
I'm like, wow.
DJ Reader's a dude now. That's always. But in the same way, DJ Reader isn't that good. T. Higgins isn't worth a first round pick. He's not top 15. Jamar's not top 5. Joe Burrow's not top 5. The O line stinks. Zach Taylor's not good. The offensive play scheme was bad, or the play scheme was so good, propped up Joe Burrow. The defense is mid. They carried. Kicker carried. Kicker. What is it?
Defense. Like, Jesse Bates. Not there.
They were gods now, right? Right? Oh my God, Jesse Bates. Wow, dude. Like, oh, when he was here, he's like, oh, I mean, bro, dude, it's fucking Jesse Bates, bro. Like, what?
No, I mean, thank you, bro. Cause that's like, bro, we were the fucking, everyone knew, like, Bengals fans, we were propping him up as a top 5 safety, like, early when we were asked, bro. And people were like, who the fuck? Who cares, bro? He's Jesse Bates.
Hey, exactly, bro. Look, like, I know, multiple of the listeners, like, they may not be really, you know, tapped into the Twitter shit as I always, you know, promote to, because it's an awesome realm for Bengals world, Bengals talk on there. But that's just a lot of what it is. And look, overall, it comes back to what I said, bro. It's because they've been convinced that, okay, Joe is the truth. Joe is that dude. Thus, I want to see something new. I'm tired of seeing it. CJ Stroud ain't there yet. The Texans are still fun. They're still cute. Wait till they go to the AFC Championship game this year and we host them at Paycor and we send Joe Mixon back to fucking Houston. Respectfully.
But you fucking Stephon Diggs on the field again with the back shot.
Yeah, bro. Why bro's still sitting there? Like, love to sit there for 5 years. Like, that's what we got to do to him. But yeah, the Texans just got to win again. Like, bro, we got to keep the luck, bro. Bro. The NFL loved us, bro, even through the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We were fun. We were new. And we all jived with him because we love the team. We love the love. Hey, we love the team. Let's go. Oh, dude, you know what, man? I want to see the Bengals win. Like, this is really cool. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a Ravens fan. But, like, it's just cool. Steelers, I can't hate, bro. Putting on for the division. A new team, new face. Like, we never expected to be here. They're here. Dude, we went back there. Oh, I fucking hate these guys. God.
Damn.
Ugh, they're annoying.
You would cook people if you could just voice argue with people like that. You would cook them.
Yeah, bro. Dude, I fucking grill people off the fucking spaces every day. Leave. I mean, look, well, it's also because I've talked about a lot of this stuff ad nauseum, but yeah, it's exactly what it is. So, like, you know, you'll hear a lot of opposing points of views. That's why, bro, when people say Joe's like, dude, I wish people could care as much as I did with their takes on our team, because it's literally zero.
I had to block that guy that I tell you about. I talked to the Chiefs guy. It's like, I'm blocking you till week one, bro, because he's coming at me with stupid shit about, oh, the Texans are the best team in the AFC. And then he's like, hit me up saying,
yeah, that's what he said,
bro. And then he's been saying, like, bro, I ain't even scared, like, on my mom, bro, I'm not even scared of y'all in the playoffs. He was like, and also, like, Joe ain't even that good, bro. Like, he ain't even that good, bro. Joe Burrow ain't that good, bro.
Yeah, that does deserve, like, that ain't no conversation.
He got blocked, bro.
Yeah, good, bro. You want to hear a funny little fucking comment, bro? I saw a lot of these. I saw multiple of these comments, and I asked Zach as well and other Chiefs fans. Bro, they're like, I think a Bengals fan made it. They were like, oh, Chiefs offseason summed up, like, lost something, lost key weapon. Oh, traded L'Jarius Sneed for an irrelevant ass pick. Or like traded your best defensive player, whatever the fuck. Then, like, Rashee Rice is lost. He's gone. He just ran away. So, like, you need a new wide receiver. It's just so funny how they laid it out. Like, well, we got to draft another wide receiver because he fucking ran away. Like, I don't know. He just, like,
the video was so funny because they were like, they were talking to him and he just, like, kind of like, put his hand up. He's like, yeah, we're good. And he just, like, walked off. I'm like, okay.
Bro, hey, what's crazy is that
he had alcohol in his system.
Yeah, it's official, bro. Yeah. Oh, he did?
I'm telling you, that's probably, if I had to assume why, I think that's why he walked away.
I'm scared, yeah. Like,
look, well, it's kind of, like, smart, right? You rather face that than, like, fucking the DUI and shit like that.
I hear you, bro. I do hear you, but the reality is he wasn't making it calculated like that.
Oh.
They walked away like dumb fucks. Like, I don't know. It's in the moment. I don't fucking know. It is scary, bro. Like, you were driving like a dumbass. Like, and you could have costed your life. Like, so I get it. That's pretty, like, you know, you walked away the way you did. But you have to pay the price for that, dude. Like, you can't just leave your car in the middle of the highway. Like you did.
Two cars.
You left two cars in the middle of the highway.
A Lambo and a Corvette.
You're like, what are you doing, bro? My car's gone. Price is missing. Like, he ran away. We got to get a new fucking wide receiver. No,
shit.
Like, buddy is cooked, dude. Like, I mean, he's lucky he got no one hurt, dude. Because he would have been a Henry Ruggs.
Well, it was, because there was a four, I mean, could have easily been a four-year-old, bro. I mean.
Facts.
Nope.
Facts. Nah, you're right, bro. I mean, yeah, dude, social media, it's just so funny, bro. People are so funny. NFL, Ghetto Gronk is so funny.
Ghetto Gronk, like, going straight to hell.
Hey, they hold nothing. I love it, dude. I love it.
Oh, I love it, too.
Yeah, bro. It, man, nothing is off the table. Like, you see, he's dumbass. He's really putting on,
did
bro.
You see the video where it was like, DeMar Hamlin when he lines up at wide receiver this year?
No.
Oh, my God, bro. You gotta watch it after you get off here. It's bad, bro. It's just like a football player dropping. Just like literally going to run a route, and they just drop to the ground.
Bro, you know the funny ass picture I love so much. I'm sorry, y'all. We're kind of spitballing here. You ever see that picture of the fucking high school kid laying on the ground and he like snapped his fucking femur in half and his legs like bent the other way?
No.
Bro, it looks like a cartoon.
No way.
Bro, they're like, damn, bro. What happened to Keon? Bro. They bro got ran over, and it's just like every time they talk about a trash player, like how trash is this dude? Like whatever, it's like, damn, bro, like what happened to bro's leg? It's just funny to think about it. I'm sure like NFLBs or Ghetto Gronk post about it, but fuck, man, let's try to keep it back on track here. So with the T thing, obviously talking about the trade compensation stuff, like you said, bro, the big thing. I speculate where the Bengals are starting the first plus. If you're not talking first plus off the rip, click.
Hang that fucking phone up.
Hang that phone up because I'm going to tell you something right now. It's our best chance to win a bowl this year. Like, we laid it out, bro, and it was like with Mixon last year, and things did change, throughout the offseason, but it was kind of different. So I can't say super similar. You ain't doing nothing with that $22 million, buddy. Like, just it would be different if we're talking late February. Right, we're talking different, right? Like, if there's an opportunity, you could capitalize now and go big come free agency with an extra 22 mil. It don't matter now. You got it. You still got money, and you're probably not going to spend all of it. So, no point in giving them up. You better give me the king's ransom to do it. And I mean, I every day that passes, I see a scenario to where a team could even offer a first, and maybe.
You want to hear it crazy?
I will, one second, I'm gonna wrap this up real quick. A team may offer the first and the fourth this year, and the Bengals still say no. Because, bro, like if T ends up going for 1,100, a career high, like potentially even 1,200 plus next season, and he's 25, 26,
Yeah.
oh, bro, he's getting that first and a third. Like, so then you're feeling great, and I'll tag him again. I don't give a fuck.
And you might get a higher first round pick versus what you would get this year.
Bro, and dude, the receiver draft next year, dog, dump. Not like this year.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yep. So, hey,
Because a
all
lot of
that.
the guys are probably young right now coming in to college and shit, so that.
Yeah. There are some. There are a couple. Guys, that are fully expected to be polished by next season. And be good coming out. But yeah, I mean, I'm plus a lot of receivers are coming out.
And I agree with you. I think Joe would probably look at it too like that because it, I don't know if it was Zach or Duke that said it, but one of them said like, yeah, like this T gives us the best chance to win the Super Bowl. Like he is our best chance to win the Super Bowl. And I
And you, boy.
yeah, bro. And you want to hear something? How old was Michael Jordan when he won it? Or how old was Michael Jordan? Yeah, how old was Michael Jordan when he won his first NBA ring?
28.
Yep. Joe Burrow will be 28 when he wins his first ring.
Man, 3 years? Oh, wait. Oh, fuck. Wait.
Yeah.
I was thinking my age. Shit.
Joe turns 28 this year.
God, quarterback's almost 30.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, dude. No, I can't think like that. I was just thinking, like, bro, like 8 more years. Like, bro, we're literally going into year five of Joe Burrow.
It's crazy, bro.
Crazy, bro. Man, I will not forget the day that I knew he was going to be a Bengal.
Me too.
I
Me too.
was going to be a Bengal by week 7 when he beat Alabama.
Bro,
Like, I was.
it felt great every single week, bro. It's like I was watching every LSU game knowing that
Me too, bro.
guy.
Every fucking game. Not this new dude. This dude's gonna change everything. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we're almost a half decade in. Pretty wild. Yeah, bro. So let's try to go and move to the next topic here. Pre-draft visits, bro. I don't know if you got a list accumulated, but some interesting names, a lot of names that we like to hear. So what's some of the names you got so far on the pre-draft visits the Bengals got?
Yeah, I mean you had a lot of the trenches, right? Yesterday you had Troy Fatanu who came in on a visit. Auburn defensive lineman Justin Rogers. You had Amarius Mims today. You also had Tavondre Sweat. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, other guys and whatnot too. But in terms of big names, I think, you know, Mims.
Smith was another one as well.
Who?
LSU, Mason Smith.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's a DT, 6'6", 290, 9 RAS. So many dudes on that LSU D-line. Yeah, they brought him in as well. It was kind of a random name I didn't expect. Oh, McKinley Jackson, shout out.
Yeah.
Definitely look, it's apparent, like, they're going to get a nose tackle somewhere. Like, they like Evan Anderson, who was from FAU. I think he's definitely going under the radar. He would be a day three for sure, but they liked him a lot. They tested him at his pro day. Yeah, definitely the nose tackles. And like you said, Justin Rogers, Tyler Davis was another one. Clemson, free tech, but can also play five and even the one. One is like inside shoulder next to the center. So kind of a nose, but he could play off nose, I guess, is the simplest term for it. So that's what they're looking at, bro. They're looking for beef. Like you said, they're looking at the interior, you know, in other spots. Kind of an interesting one. Of course, it's not, you know, finished yet for visits, but surprised I haven't heard Jackson Powers Johnson's name yet.
It's a Jackson Powers. Get him out of here.
Hey, we draft another Jackson Carmen, bro. You won't see me. I'm deactivated.
No, bro. I think the Bengals saw that JPJ rep against Michael Hall, and they're like, Billy Parker, can't turn this shit off. Turn it off.
Bro, it's one play, bro. Michael.
Nah, I'm playing. I'm playing. Turn that shit off.
Michael Thomas, bro. Harvey, bro. That tells how late it is right now. But, nah, bro. That was one rep. Michael Hall is a demon. I mean, shit, bro. Listen, EA said it a couple months ago. And it's starting to really show its colors today. Like, Hall is arguably one of the most talented three techs in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
He could, if he played a full healthy last couple seasons, he could arguably be three tech number one. And he just has been able to completely stay healthy. So that one play, bro, I mean, JPJ, he's still a dog. He's going to be really good in this league.
For sure.
Yeah, that was definitely a dud.
I've been kind of liking the Zach Frazier guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Frazier. I think dog for sure. I think he's a mauler. You know, it's obviously what they're looking for a dude that just is a fiend for content after whatever he can get. So, yeah, I mean, it fits the mold. And we'll see, you know, if he falls to 49. But actually, we can kind of go ahead and hop into the mock type stuff. Because here's how we can kind of combine both real quick. Then we'll head out of here. So, guys, we're going to try to run an efficient mock draft real quick. Drake as well. Let's add five rounds.
Okay.
I think the extra round could do a little bit. We're going to leave off round six and seven, guys. It's a crapshoot for the most part. Like, I've gone really nitty-gritty this year with mock draft. Shout out Brady. And a lot of people, you know, with running through a ton of film of a lot of guys. That's where I'm at. So, but we'll keep it five rounds. And then after that, we'll kind of talk about some philosophies on, you know, why we got what we got. So, you able to pull up your mock draft, bro?
Yes, sir. I got it pulled up.
Cool. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do mine. So, let's see. You want to run first with yours, with a first round?
Let me see here. Sorry. Thought I had it. I just want to make sure I had it set to five rounds. All right. Yep.
It's good. So, as well, bro, like I said, we're obviously going to try to make this efficient one for the audience as well. Let's try to do this in like 8 minutes. So I'll let you go ahead and run through your first round. We'll kind of do it like last time. Actually, we'll probably do 15 minutes for both of us combined. We'll hop back first round ideas. Like, you can go first and then I'll go second. Cool.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep. Let's run it.
All right, bro. So I'm here at pick 18, right? Got... how do you say this guy's name? UCLA, the edge.
Fuck. I gotta see his name. I've heard of it a lot.
Laiatu, something like
that. Laiatu, yeah, Laiatu Latu.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are liking that guy. People think he's going to be a star. You have him on the board. You have Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJean, Byron Murphy, Nate Wiggins, Amarius Mims, Jackson Powers Johnson. Those are
who be realistic.
And you also have Brian Thomas. What do you say?
I was going to ask you, like, who do you think would be realistic there for the Bengals?
So this is my opinion, bro. I'll try to keep it brief. I just, like, I think there's going to be a situation where if the Bengals are here, bro, and they see, like, Amarius Mims, bro, they're going to take him. I just, like, the Bengals have shown history, bro, to not value taking that interior defensive lineman. I know Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, those dudes are going to be dogs. So it's like, damn. But at the same time, I feel like the Bengals are going to value Mims. And that's kind of been your guy. I mean, outside of availability, you have been back in a Mims for a long time. You like Mims.
Yeah.
And, I'm starting to like him too. But at the same time, that's what I think. I think they would take the tackle here over defensive line just because, you know, they just gave Sheldon Rankins $13 million a year as their three tech. They're clearly looking at that nose tackle position in the draft, like you said, when bringing guys in on that top 30 visits. And I'm sure we'll see more guys in the coming days. But in my opinion, that's how I view it. I think Byron and Johnny on the board there kind of speaks volumes too, right? They're good players, but it's like, why are they still on the board? But they could definitely get picked before that too. That wouldn't surprise me either. But if Mims is here on the board, I think they go ahead and take him. And in my opinion, I'm going to take him here at pick 18. What do you think?
Can't knock it. I mean, I think, look, Mims is arguably, when he was healthy last season,
best how much on the country when he's healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so premium fucking specimen of a talent, just the health. So you can't knock it, bro. You can't knock it for the Bengals trying to put the nail in the coffin and put exclamation points everywhere that we don't ever want Joe Burrow to suffer through substantial amount of sacks and hits ever again. And I can't knock.
What's your thoughts on that? Because I think it's kind of a crazy comparison. I understand the availability and shit, but people automatically resorting to saying, like, this is Mekhi Becton 2.0.
That's dumb as hell. Right. Yeah, that's no correlations at all. Look, dude, his injuries weren't substantial. He just played behind great talent, bro. Every year, George is producing fucking tackles that are ready to play in the league right now. Feels like. I mean, they produce some good ones. You know, so it's like, I mean, you fuck, bro, just a fucking fifth round pick. I think Warren McClendon was one that got picked last year, third round. The year before, Jamari Sawyer, he's a dog with the Chargers now. Like, the year before, Andrew Thomas, he's premium tackle. Like, it's just hard to get, you know, guys lined up and, really playing a lot there. So, yeah, you can't knock it for sure. So I'm going to say this off top. Look, for a lot of the podcast listeners that are on Twitter, they know where I've been standing the past couple of days. None of the picks have gone yet, but I'm looking to go big. I got 10 picks. If there was a year to try to go in, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I can to get the game-breaking generational talent. And that's that tight end in Brock Bowers. Now, I'm about to run it. I feel like the highest the Bengals will be willing to go is 10, but I feel like 12 could be the prime spot for them. So we'll see how the board falls. I'm personally not going to be willing to go up to 10 here, but if he's available at 12, I'm going to move up. So we'll see how it goes real quick.
All right.
Come on, bro. Go. All right. It is laid out this way because I know the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy falls to 11. Obviously, he's a Viking. Brock Bowers is there on the board. Here's the thing. Multiple Bengals fans have brought this up, and I would love to know that this could work compensation-wise, but I feel like moving from 18 to 12 would cost you 49. That's the thing that gets a ton of fans grimacing, and I get it. I get it. I'm there as well. But some people think it could take 80. If it would take 80, no, light work, dog. I'm throwing that like fucking dollars at a strip club. No problem. Pick number 80. But here's the thing on why I'm taking Brock Bowers. I'm going to try to make this quick but efficient. You not only killed two birds with one stone, you killed three. We talked about this at the end of last season when we watched these last four teams in the premium offenses throughout the entire season. But in the end, what they all had. They had game-breaking tight ends that can win anywhere. Inside, outside, whatever the fuck, line up on the line of scrimmage, you know, put their hands down in the dirt in three-point stance and produce. Maybe they're not the best blockers, right? Not every one of the elite pass-catching tight ends are versatile like George Kittle that's going to bury you in the dirt. Not every guy. But when you can line up in 12 personnel, it gives you so much more depth because you look, you had so much more depth in your chameleon-like production. As an offense, the defense does not know what you're running. You're the same entity, but it can be a different angle. When you have two tight ends out there, or fuck, for us, it may be three. I don't know. It could be three. Bro, like, if you got a Brock Bowers with a 9.95 RAS score performing Mike Gesicki, the $11.2 million franchise tag earned tight end is how I see Mike Gesicki. A dude that earned that tag. We ain't tagging nobody, right? We know that. You don't just tag anybody. You tag the dudes that you think are worth it. You add Mike Gesicki, Brock Bowers, with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Dude, that is the craziest fucking quartet. Sounds funny. Quartet of skill players.
Yeah, bro.
Like, I mean, dude, that is just mind-blowing, bro. Like, outside of the 49ers, which their quartet of skill players is, like, low-key all-timer, like, but with running back, but we're not including running back. I mean, it would just break the league, bro, so you keep up with the league. Because we saw what the detriment was of having elite receiver talents that went down with injury. We couldn't hang up in the end of January when it mattered most. And the 22 championship, AFC, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got the double, you got the two doubles on Jamar and T. It didn't work. Oh, we got Jamar and T. We'll be great. We'll be fine. You didn't have game breakers on the inside. You got nothing over. Joe Burrow has never had a legit threat over the middle. You want to hear what's sickening, bro? The biggest threat Joe Burrow has ever had up the middle was fucking T. Huddy last season. As a talent. Like, CJ was capable, right? But we didn't really use him like that. We didn't fucking know how. We didn't care to. We had an elite trio of wide receivers, right? So, Brock Bowers is the greatest. I'm just saying it now. He's the greatest fucking college tight end ever. Ever. This is a generational talent. That, and here's the last big thing I'll make. I'm sorry, I'm going on too quick. I'll make it quickly. 22 and 23. Dax Hill, Miles Murphy, first round picks. They played a combined 500 snaps in their first season. That's why the fuck we're here. That's why we're stressing about our pass rush, stressing about our defensive front and our trenches as a whole. And we had to completely revamp our fucking secondary or our safety unit. Like, at the same time, you'll hear Bengals fans talk about a question how committed they are to winning when they whiffed on the predecessors that had to take over. You chose to let Jesse walk and you messed up. Like, what does Sam Hubbard look like? Like, Sam Hubbard's not the same guy. And Miles Murphy, it didn't work. Blah, blah, blah. You're lucky Trey Hendrickson had 17. All this negative talk. Yet they go all in on you have to draft a tackle in round one. And let's just say this. Look, unless if the tackle was Taliese Fuaga, they are not starting over Trent Brown. I'm telling you right now. Ship and mail that shit in. You draft J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims, they are not starting over Trent Brown. I get it. Trent Brown has injury concerns. Of course he does. I don't want to bank on injury concerns. Like, but here's the reality of what this could look like. And first off, I wouldn't hate this either. Like, depending on how the board fell, if you drafted J.C. Latham, I'm not fucking crying. But, like, there could be a very real scenario that you look at the end of his rookie season, you're like, damn, he played 189 snaps this year. So you telling me in 22, 23, and 24, in these rookies' first fucking season, they play a combined 700 snaps? That's how you look back by the time that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase's fucking contracts are fat as fuck in 2026, and you say, damn, we missed our fucking window. What the fuck happened? You whiffed on premium assets spent in the draft on mediocre production.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a position to where you can get 800 to 1,000 snaps with Mike Gesicki? That's a Brock Bowers or a Brian Thomas, but I'm not trading up to 12 to get Brian Thomas. I'm trading up to number 12 instead of drafting O-lineman 6 or O-lineman 5 out of a panic pick that's going to get, unless that they are Fatanu, really Fatanu, that would start at guard.
That's why I like Fatanu so much, yeah.
If Fatanu's there at 18, if Brock Bowers goes 7, if Fatanu's there at 18, dream scenario. Let's go. The perfect. I'm cool with that. It's like it's not going to happen. So I'm going all in. I got my 10 picks. I know that was a rant. I feel that it was valuable for everyone, though, to kind of just understand, like, you kill two birds with one stone. You don't have to go out and draft the tight end later. You're good. Don't do it. People are like, oh, you got to draft Benson. Fuck that. You got to draft Kate Stover or Jadeveon Sanders. Fuck that. Don't worry about it. You don't have to address tight end anymore. You don't need a receiver either. Fuck that. I don't give a shit. Draft one next year. I mean, if you want to draft one like round 5, 6, that's cool. Like, bro, Brock Bowers, that can be your weapon number 2, and you still break the league. Like, bro, he's going to be the best tight end, like, for years to come, and it'll break the league. So, let's see. Okay. For some reason, I don't know why I'm glitching up here, so. Fucking reboot this. So, yeah, while I'm rebooting this, you can go ahead and go, bro. My apologies. Our Bengal at number 12, and I gave up number 49. So we move forward and cook.
Well, just say, when I put it in the calculator on PFF, obviously it's not the real NFL, but I mean, they accepted it for the pick 80 and pick 18. They accepted it. So, yeah.
Move up to 12.
Yep, just move up to 12. And I got Brock in the other one. But yeah, in this one, we got Marius Mims. You're making my draft feel like it's lame, because fuck, like, man, I would, if we got a Brock Bowers, bro, I would go insane. I would go fuck. Like, that's the one offense, because I'm just not a fan, bro, like, of drafting a wide receiver personally in the first round when you do have, you know, things you have to really do on these trenches, in my opinion. Yes, it kind of, signing Trent does give you that, like, leeway, right, that you could draft the wide receiver, but when it comes to exceptions, there's one guy on that list, and it's fucking Brock Bowers. And if you can get him in any way, if you can really move up to 12, which I feel like that's not necessarily crazy, I think the Bengals could do that. If it wasn't too much, I could see them doing it.
I was about to add context really quick. Yeah. Sculpt this, because I think 80 is absolutely real. That feels real for me. And like you said, I trust PFF more than Pro Football Network right here. Let's go ahead and adjust that to pick 80. All right, so I'll just find someone at 49, because I think that's actually how it could go. I think if the Bengals offered pick 80, it will work. So instead of me offering 49 here, I'll just kind of end up finding the dude, like, as if I was drafting there. Then I'll just substitute number 80.
Okay.
So is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I shipped 80 for Brock Bowers, but nonetheless, I'm sorry. You can go ahead and pick your guy at 49.
It's interesting when you look at the board, because in my opinion, after taking an offensive lineman in that first round, I think it does give you that leeway to get you a wide receiver here in round 2. Now, an interesting one is you do got Rook. You got him on the board. Now, he's a 3-tech, right? Or no?
Root, yeah, he's a 3-tech.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at that, and it's like, I don't know, man. I just don't think the Bengals are going to value. I mean, I know they want to get up to quarterback more, but, God, I don't know, man. Something feels that they're not going to, like, how everybody's getting hyped about Johnny Newton and shit. There's a feeling that they're not going to go after a guy like that. I think right here, man, you follow the gosh, but then as you reiterate, it's like you talk about snaps and shit like that. Like snaps is a Jermaine Burton or, you know, a Ladd McConkey or Ricky Purcell. Like how many snaps are these guys going to get? But
I feel like, in my opinion, if it was one of those guys, like, I feel like they're starting over.
You're right. In the slot. Yes. Yeah.
Like a Ricky Pearsall, that starts to get a little murky for me. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think you feel good about your future, nonetheless. But, like, and I think that's more praise to Charlie and Ayo, right? But, yeah, I don't know. But if it's like Jermaine Burton, maybe, you know, they're starting there. But, you know, I guess we would see how that would go.
I could really go like when we took Jake Fisher, man. I could really fuck people's heads up and go back to back fucking offensive linemen.
Nasty.
I'm just not liking where I'm at on the board, man. I might trade back here.
Do it, bro.
I'm gonna see what we can figure out, man, because I'm not liking it.
Now remember, like, you got 10 picks. We talked about it, like.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It'd be rare that the Bengals are going to sign all 10 of these or bring these dudes onto the 53-man roster. So you add another pick, like, you're almost kind of ensuring that they're not making the roster type shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. So,
that's why, like, when a lot of people draft two tight ends, bro, I'm like, why? Like, you're ensuring that a dude is not making the roster. I feel like that's just not really what the Bengals want to do. It doesn't really make sense. Like, hey, we're going to draft you just to cut you inevitably. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense.
You know what? I'm going to do it. This is what I did in my mock earlier. I'm going to stand tall to this. Right here, pick 49, bro. People might be pissed at this, bro. Might look at it as a reach. But I think he's going in the second round. I'm taking him right here. I'm going to be bold. We're taking Jalen Wright, running back. Okay.
49.
Huh?
49, you said?
Yep. Going on, bro.
I can't help but like it.
I think it's like one of those where you will look at it and you're like, bro, why are we taking running back? But it's like kind of like when Mixon came in, right? You had that running back by committee. I know we like Zach Moss, but you're not fully handcuffed to Zach Moss. And, you know, you got 2 years there. Everyone knows they're going to be that running back by committee type deal. Chase is going to have a lot more workload, but I still think that's where they're headed for. Go ahead, lock it in. You got, you know, and at some point they'll establish it where they got that traditional third down back, their traditional workhorse back. I think they would figure it out, and Jalen Wright would be your workhorse.
Listen, dude. Like you did break that down in a vanilla way. I'ma just add this fuck sexy hype to it, bro. Jalen Wright, he ran the fastest of any player in FCS last season at 23.3 miles an hour. Ooh. Guess who had the fastest play last season of any running back in the league last year?
Mr. Chase Brown.
That was 22.1.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Jalen Wright is 6'1", 210 pounds. His one step cut, the play's over. Like, I see this dude. I watched a lot of this dude's tape. He hits the second level. That safety's angle is not good enough. Like, now look, that is college safety, right? We're talking about, you know, safeties at fucking, you know, Utah. Like, that's different, like, than, you know, fucking Kyle Hamilton. Right. But, I mean, dude, game breaking, game suffering for a defense. Game suffering type speed with both dudes. With the stability and better leadership of Zach Moss, I'll say it right now. Listen, even with the Lions, what they got, you add Jalen Wright to this running back room, you got the best running back room in football. I'm just saying it now. Better than the fucking Ravens. Better than anybody else, bro. The Eagles, nah. bro, this unit, like,
and it offers them a dimension where teams, you look at the Bengals and you're going to think, oh, they're just going to fucking pass every play. This gives them a dimension.
Yep, they will kill you in the run. Exactly, bro. Like, it, yeah, I think it's a great pick. Now, 49, it, for me personally, is rich, but I hear you, dude. Get your fucking guy. If you're convinced it's your guy, like, don't leave it up to fate. Like, you, that's the luxury, like, that you're in, bro. I got 10 picks. I'm getting my fucking dudes. Like, and plus, I know Jalen Wright is rising up boards really quick.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, you don't want to risk it, dude. The guy with game-breaking speed like that, you can't risk it. So,
he's going to be a second round pick, too.
What's up?
He's going to be drafting the second round.
Probably will. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll sell it like this. I'm not taking him at 49 for me here. Like, I will take the risk. I'll see what happens. Because I'm going to go ahead and go with Christian Mahogany. He's a really good fucking guard out of Boston College.
There you go.
He completely fits what Frank Pollock is looking for. 9.65 RES. Athleticism is something that these dipshits are completely foreign to. They just have no idea that offensive linemen can actually be athletic and mean. Like, it just doesn't correlate in their mind that, like, yeah, they can be both. Like, no, you don't need just unathletic dudes that are fucking 350 pounds. They can be athletic too. Mahogany fits that mold. Phenomenal with getting to the second level. You know, super strong. And a dude that buries people into the fucking dirt. You know, so he just completely embodies what the Bengals are looking for. And like I said, bro, the reality is that fans have not focused on it enough. I need contribution. Because I've gotten fucking bit by the Jackson Carmens, by the fucking Dax Hills, as much as I hate to say, I'm not in an ill will way, but it just hasn't panned out. Miles Murphy, you can't, I cannot afford to have these luxuries sit, you know, and just not give me the value I need. Because it's costing me seasons, right? So Christian Mahogany, I think, will beat out Cordell Volson. That's my opinion. I wouldn't know that for certain, but that's a really good talented player that no matter what, if he doesn't start, you feel phenomenal about. And if he doesn't start, then that's great praise to, you know, fucking Cordell Volson, right? You probably got the step you wanted. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and for a lot of the fucking fans out there, oh, my God, they fucking traded up for Brock Bowers. Like, we're not committed to win. There's your alignment, right? You know, for a lot of the people out there. So, yeah, what? I'm Christian Mahogany at 49.
Yeah, I think you get in the garden. I love the idea of it. I know the Bengals, it's kind of rich for them to do it in the first round, but they're in the second, might be a little more comfortable. And you get a guy that you know is going to be a dog. So in here, man, I just made a trade. I wound up sending, let's see what I did, because now I freaking messed up and X'd out of what the trade was, but I traded like pick 97 and a fourth to go back to back. So pick 80 and 81. I don't know why. I love doing it. My mock draft. I just try to go back to the freaking Malik Jefferson and Sam Hubbard draft. I don't know why. It's just something I always 80 and 81. So we're looking at like on the board, man.
So you telling me you want a hit and an absolute embarrassing bust?
No, definitely not. I like having that back-to-back pick, man. And plus how this board looks, man, it's looking nice. So let's see. Let's break it down, man. We got, we're here in the third round. We got pick 80 and 81 back-to-back. Spencer Rattler. Okay. No play. So we got Blake Fisher up there. Don't think we're going to take him because we took Mims, right? Wouldn't make much sense. I got Johnny Wilson, big boy, big wide receiver. Malachi Corley kind of surprised me that he fell this because I feel like he might go in the second round. Renardo Green, Christian Mahogany. He's here at pick 80. And I like the idea. I like the idea of taking a, you know, two offensive linemen within those first four picks if possible.
Oh yeah.
I think it would be smart, but
I'd be all-
I think tackle and guard. If you could get away with doing that at good value, Obviously, you don't want to reach, but if those guys follow you, hell yeah, sign me up. So I'm looking here, man, and I could take like a guy like Brennan Rice. I could get a wide receiver, but I'm looking at like, I didn't take Brock Bowers in mind, but I'm thinking of like if it was the Bengals, right? And we know Mike Gesicki's not in line, bro. He's playing in the slot for us. You could go ahead, you could secure it, get a wide receiver. But I'm looking at it, bro, and I think I'm going to take Mahogany. I think I'm going to copycat you. I'm going to take a guard here, take Mahogany. So now we got that interior, and now we got the tackle. I think it's smart to kind of go ahead and get these two offensive linemen for the future, because you never know. You know, Karras and Kappa, you love them, but and this also gives you a chance, like you said, to compete with Cordell Wilson. Definitely feel like they'll win it out.
And even like beyond that, bro, like you said, just the long term, to put an exclamation point on that shit, that here we are, we are fully committed to ensuring this fucking O-line, bro.
Right.
Just figure it out with premium talents in this draft. This O-line class is so fucking deep, bro. Yes, it is top heavy, but it's deep. There's legit talents that are later on in this draft. I mean, this draft is just so talented. It's an amazing class. I mean, this could seriously be an all-time class.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, we could look back, bro, in the NFL history and be like, man, that 24 class was just, like, incredible. So,
you think? Yeah. I mean, how rich do you think it would be for a Mike Hall here in the third round? Is it rich?
Not at all.
I know, man. So, I'm thinking, I got Mahogany, and we're going straight back to the interior trenches, back-to-back picks, right? You get the guard, going Michael Hall Jr. Boom, pick
it. I like it. All right. I like it. Yeah. Cook, bro.
Now it's your turn.
so far I got Brock at a 12, you know, moved up. Obviously gave up 80 for that pick. Got Christian Mahogany at 49, so I'm at 97 here. Same way with you, bro. Just how we broke down with Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright is my draft darling with Brock Bowers. I already broke it down. I'm going to go ahead and break the league, securing him at 97. So there we go. Jalen Wright is my pick, 97.
So you kind of reached for Mahogany based off of how my draft fell. I kind of reached for Jalen Wright based off of how your draft fell. That's kind of funny.
Yep. Hey, that, I mean, look, bro, that's just how it works. Yep. Like, that's just how it works sometimes. I mean, remember last season? I mean, even after like night two of the draft, the Lions head scratcher, we're doing drafting Jahmyr Gibbs at 11 or whatever. Like, what are you doing fucking drafting Jack Campbell at 18? Like, this team's dumb as hell. Linebacker, running back, some of the most least valuable positions in the league. And then they drafted Hendon Hooker in the third, and they looked at it on his face. It's like, oh, well, I mean, like, well, you draft a quarterback, linebacker, running back at these premium positions, and they just, oh, and a safety. It just so happened to be flip-flopped. So on his face, like, when you look when it's done, like you said, oh, okay, they just did it in different manners. Like, if it works, who cares?
All right.
Like, it doesn't matter. It happened.
Like Logan Wilson.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, Logan Wilson, yeah, I mean, he could have been drafted in the second. Would we have cared? He was a second round pick. Fuck nah.
Right.
Like, who cares? He's a dog. If Jermaine Pratt was a second round pick, no one cares. He's a dog. If Jermaine Pratt was a fifth round pick, don't care. He's a dog. He was a third round pick. So yeah, bro. At the end of the day, do you think this guy's going to fit your system, and can you set him up for success and actually see him being good enough to execute what you want him to? Period. Like, if you think that dude is there at 49, why you got dipshits like Bill Belichick that says, you know what, Cole Strange, you're a fucking Patriot at 24 overall. You know, and like the fucking Rams were looking at him at 105. Like, that's just how it goes sometimes. So, yeah, bro, I'm with you on that one. So I'm here at 115. Let's see. Wait a sec. I know I just went on a little rant there. You did end up picking right after me, right? After Jalen.
So I actually am not up until the fifth round because I went back to back. So I gave away my fourth rounder.
Okay, got you, got you. And like I did mention, we are going to end it after the fifth round here.
Facts.
So, yeah, so you don't have 115? That's what you're saying?
No, sir.
Just to give up.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. Yeah, so I have 115 here. let's see who I got so far. So I'm gonna be looking for defensive tackle if I could, preferably. Because I got my tight end, I got my weapon, really. Then I got Christian Mahogany. So I got two legit contributors, and Jalen Wright's gonna be a legit contributor as well. It's just that room's still loaded, which is great. So seeing here. Yeah, like I said, I want my DT if it makes sense. Let's see what happened. Oh my God, Blake Fisher went at 113. Pain. Let's see where Mastone Smith went. Some of these guys. Dewayne Carter went at 110. That's just devastating, bro. That would have been a dream scenario for me at 115 here. It looks like the board's really not falling that way completely. But I mean, I just drafted a lot of these positions. So, you know what? 115. They here? Are they here? Okay. So, Mason McCormick. Oh, man, that's the fucking dog. 9.95 RAS, another guard. Two guards here. 9.97, Brandon Coleman. How compelling that is. But I believe in nah, I'm actually pulling back a little bit. Let's see. You know what? You know what? I want my rotational guy. I'm gonna go ahead and go with. Sorry, bro. I'm picking between a three tech I like to potentially reach on a little bit, versus one of the corners I like, because I think the Bengals just have so many ideas with this cornerback room.
So many, bro.
Yeah, so many options, and like I don't know if I want to keep crowding this room
Right.
here at least. I just don't know. And I wanna put an exclamation point on both sides of the trenches, you know? So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go ahead and go with Mekhi Wingo, three tech out of LSU, one of the highest success rates of any fucking pass rusher in the nation for the past 2 seasons. This guy was. So he's flying under the radar. He's not elite of the elite, but a 8.75 RAS score. He's a little short. He's actually really short. For what's comforting, but 285 pounds, I think he can give you a lot of what you're looking for. So I'm gonna go ahead and get my pass rusher at 115 and Mekhi Wingo.
You're fired.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the draft even ends, dude. Breaking news. This is fun.
right, so we're here in the fifth round, right?
Yep. Oh shit. Oh, you ain't got your pick?
No, I'm here in the fifth.
Damn, bro, impoverished. Who's fucking fired? You're fucking fired, bro. Hey, look at me, dog. Bro, I traded for Brock Bowers. Now I'm over here. I'm just living lavish. I'm chill.
Oh,
Like,
he's chilling.
damn, bro. All right, let's see. So,
I'm fucking looking at. I'm about to get the McCaffrey boy. You want me? I'll really put a stamp on it, man.
hey, yeah, fucking do it, bro. So,
But I don't know. Feel like tight
okay,
end.
bro. I mean, wait a sec. Do you so you don't have wait, you do have 149?
Yeah, I got a fifth.
Oh, I didn't know you had a fifth. My B, bro. I thought you gave up your fifth. I don't know why you gave up your third and your fourth. That's what it was. So, my apologies, dude. I was about to go again. So, yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, so it's kind of I don't know, man. I'm looking at the board here. You got some wide receivers. You got Taj Washington, you got Cornelius Johnson. You got Mason Smith, but we already took Michael Hall. Looking at the tight end position, you got Theo Johnson, Dalen Hawker here. I like both those guys. in the fifth round.
Tight. Oh, you need a tight end, buddy? Could be me.
See, I was thinking about that, but it's like, when you look at our room full face, it's like, gosh, are we just gonna keep the revolving door going? Like, I mean, might as well, right?
Might as I hear you for sure.
But, I mean, fifth or sixth round could really make sense for the Bengals actually, trying to draft a guy. Who do you like more, Dalen Hawker or Theo Johnson?
Bro, you got to go in on the profile with Theo Johnson. Like, I trust the system of the Penn State offense. The quarterback, you know, was obviously middling this past season. But Theo Johnson, bro, you test out the gym like you did. You obviously got the athletic profile. And, you know, I think it could work really well. You know, you give him a developmental season, you know, with being the tight end number three, pass option number two, potentially.
Kind of like a do-it-all tight end, too. Can block. And
he can do it all. Yeah, he's big as hell. I think he can develop into a really quality tight end. So I would definitely go Theo over Dalen Hawker.
Here we go. Theo Johnson is the pick, man.
Let's go. That's a great fucking pick. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and cash mine in here real quick as well. Let's see what I got.
Damn, they gave me an F. F for a fucking draft.
For real?
Jalen Wright for drafting Jalen Wright.
Oh, man, fuck them. They're bitches, bro. They're capping. Let's see. So, damn, Theo Johnson went at 148 for me. Damn. So, Tyler Davis. Ooh. Jordan Jefferson. You know what? I just drafted Mahogany, though. You know what? I got a dude here. So, here's the thing. I know very little about Zach Zenter, but I learned that this is one of the most talented guards in the nation. His draft stock has fallen because he got injured at the end of last season. This is a guard out of Michigan. So, he wasn't able to test this year. 6'5", 310. But I already drafted an interior offensive lineman in Christian Mahogany.
Can one of them play center?
That's the thing. I'm sure they probably could. Like, let me check. I mean, Zach Zenter being 6'5", maybe not. Seems a bit like, you know, questionable.
6'6", 322.
Zach Zenter?
Yep.
Fuck. Yeah, I don't think that'll work for center, bro. He's just too big.
Right.
So, let's see Christian Mahogany. 6'3". Better. A lot better. Hopefully that's a lofty 6'3".
Damn, he's from Port St. Lucie, where I used to live too, Florida.
Oh, really? Who, Christian Mahogany?
Zach Zenter.
Okay, that's lit. Yeah, so look, like, because what I'm looking at the board here for, Zach Zenter is the most talented player here. And obviously, I got to go in on that. So I think some fans could look back and be like, oh, like, two interior offensive linemen, like, we need a tackle, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, you want to beef up the trenches, this is a way to do it. You know, so, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I got to go with who I think the most talented guy on the board here at 149, and that's Zach Zenter.
And everybody can stop acting like Cody Ford ain't coming in and playing like a god.
Facts, bro. Facts. Or, hey, if you really want to, bro, draft fucking – or Stan Mekhi Becton as well. Let him know what it is. I don't know. Like, maybe – or just kind of swing. Like, I mean, you know, I think anything could work still. So. Yeah, bro. I feel pretty good about it. So go ahead, give me the rundown. What ended up happening with your draft, bro?
So here's the rundown. Pick 18, Amarius Mims. Pick 49, a little bit of reach, but you know, we kind of swapped on these second and third rounders here. Took Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee. Pick 80, you get Christian Mahogany, Boston College. And then here I made a trade. I traded pick 97. And 115 to move up to 81, get back-to-back picks. Apparently, to PFF, it looks like a reach. But, you know, if you like a guy and that's your guy, go for him. Took Michael Hall at pick 81. and then wrap
up.
Yeah, and then wrap up here in the fifth round. You got Theo Johnson at Penn State.
Bro, I mean, those are quality contributors. Like, yeah, it is kind of botchy with how that happened. With maybe the, you know, the swaps and the selections, but that feels really Lions-y to me. Like I talked about a bit ago, and I mean, tons of other teams have done it as well, right? Like, I think all of those guys are legit contributors. Like, every single one. Well, Amarius Mims, obviously not, kind of talked about it, but you feel phenomenal about the tackle of the future. Tackle duo,
yeah,
right? You know, so, yeah, bro, can't knock it at all. I mean, fuck, I'd probably give that, like, with getting Michael Hall, trading up to get who I think is one of the most talented interior pass rushers in the draft, like, I'd probably give it a 8.5 out of 10 just because how the trade worked. But I mean, fuck, bro, player wise, like, that's nearly a 10 out of 10 for me. So,
oh, yeah, they gave me a C.
Yeah, nah, they're tweaking. Fuck them. Let's see. I mean, it's probably because that fucking trade, bro. Low key, like, 114 is rich. You probably could have maybe given up like a sixth or something, but I mean, it still works. So, nonetheless, here's what I got. Obviously, from 18, I moved up to 12 to get the generational talent, Brock Bowers, who's completely going to break the league alongside Jamar T and Mike Gesicki. Gave up pick 80 for that. So, you know, as all fans heading into night two, you know, are stressing yet excited and nervous of, are the Bengals going to do the same thing again? Is our O-line going to be, you know, is the depth going to be in question again? All this bullshit. Rest assured, 49, you're going to get a really good interior talent that can press Cordell Volson in the best way, week one, to be that starter. And if he's not, like I said earlier, you got almost a 99 percentile athlete, something that is foreign to these dipshits in the front office for this O-line. That could be a quality contributor in the future. Or in 24, that's the goal. So Christian Mahogany at 49, obviously gave up pick 80. 97, like you did earlier than me, secured Jalen Wright, game-breaking tight end, or game-breaking yeah, I know, right? Two tight ends, nice. Game-breaking running back. I mean, dude, just the explosion. Like, this offense, it's the best offense in the league. Again, what ops hate, they can't stand it. They can't stand the trio. Joe Burrow's overrated. Jamar Chase is the man. T. Higgins isn't who you think he is. Joe Mixon, blah, blah, blah. The offense, they know that is elite. They're it's going to be undeniable again. So get ready to hear that. Like, these guys aren't even what you think they are. So 97 with Jalen Wright, 115. I get my three tech. Maybe not the three tech that everybody will be thinking of, but Mekhi Wingo, kind of what I said. Think he'd be a quality contributor as a depth piece, and test Zach Carter for his value on the team. 149. Little bit of a different angle as well. You look at it on his face, you're like, tight end, in the first, guard, running back, three tech we didn't expect, guard again. Zach Zinter is a damn good talent. So you get it right after the injury. You get the O-line that you're looking for. You get loaded up talent and predecessors. It's what the fans wanted. They got it. So that's my first five rounds.
I think you sold me on Zach Zinter, bro. I think I'm a Zach Zinter fan now. Honestly, I might have to start putting Zinter in the mock drafts from here on out.
Yeah, let's go, bro.
But I got a question before we head out of here. Like, when you do look at the Brock Bowers thing face value, right? And obviously, I know it'll depend on how much, and, you know, might even be strictly based on that point system. But how do you, like, you think it, there's a situation in a world where it's like, you're sitting there at pick 12 and Brock Bowers is there. Do you think the Bengals would try to move up to get him?
I actually do. It's look, bro, if there was a year to do it, you 10 fucking picks, bro.
Yeah.
The NFL gods gifted you through, I mean, good deed of doing the right thing. 97. Bro, use it. Use 97 or 80. That's your leverage.
Yeah.
I think that's all. That's enough, bro. That's enough. Just be satisfied with number 97, you know, and give up 80. And then, like, you're just in a great position, bro, with the generational talent. Like, I think Brock Bowers would break the fucking league with Joe Burrow.
Do you think he's a 1,000-yard tight end?
Absolutely. Like, whatever the fuck you want.
Now, when you talk about it, obviously he's a guy that you could put all around. In a season where you have Mike Gesicki in the slot, this guy that can play in line and he can do all that in line slot, all that crap.
Yep, all of it. He's the unequivocally the best yak tight end that the college league has ever seen, like FDS has ever seen. Bro, this dude's yak. It's like he moves like a player from the 1950s, which is kind of funny. He runs like he's in a cartoon. I'm serious. It sounds funny, but dude, he's just so fucking good at football, bro. He's so good. He's so fast. He's sneaky fast. And yeah, man, I think it's a perfect situation to go all in. You want to get that weapon. And like I said,
what are you doing? What are you doing on that Thursday night? We're at Buffalo Wild Wings. And you're done. Dun. The Cincinnati Bengals have traded. Da, da, da. They're now on the clock.
I'll tell you, bro, look, if Taliese Fuaga is there, or, you know, somehow, I don't see this at all, but like, say in a crazy psychotic world, like Joe Alt's there, or Olufoshu, whatever the fuck his name is, Fashanu, with Brock, I'm still a little nervous. Is it Brock? It's gotta be. Because I kind of laid out the tackle will be there at 18 that you like. I would be nervous though until the pick is called. Like, and that would be a tumultuous fucking 3, 4, 5 minutes for me, bro. But I mean, once that name's called, man, like I'm going lit. They'll know I got to be responsible, right? I can't be crazy, get kicked out of B Dubs. But
I don't know. If it's Brock Bowers, man, it might.
Then fans will know, bro. Then fans will know. It will never be a Jamar Chase because the relationship with Joe and Jamar's generational in and of itself. You added another generational weapon for Joe Burrow. Think of what one generational weapon did for Joe Burrow. A bowl. Think of what two would do.
5 years. 5 years of Burrows.
And you extend them. I mean, like, with T. Higgins, with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Come on. Like, I don't even care about a receiver in the draft. I don't care.
And that's the thing, too. I think when people look at what happened, we kind of talked about it earlier in the episode with the Diggs and, you know, that trade. It's like there's 18 weeks in football and there's still the draft. Like, there's so much time. The Bengals could go and move up and get Brock Bowers if he was there at 12 or say 10. Say they fucking moved up to 10. Who knows? But if that was the case, they do that. I mean, it would speak volumes, and I know people would be shitting their pants.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, bro. I mean, I'll be shitting my pants in the best way, though. The best shit, like, in the pants that you could have, bro. I mean, an ecstatic one. Yeah, man. I mean, it's just perfect. Dude, I'd never be so excited to shit my pants in my life, man. Like, I would never be so fucking stoked. I'd be like a dipshit kid, just fucking shit in their pants.
Bro, you look like you would just stand there and just like, just literally stand there and just shit yourself. Smile. Just Jesus.
Then I'd really be getting kicked out. Like, I'm shitting on the league. Like, God, bro, you shitting on my floor. Get out. Like,
I can't help it.
Get out of here, dog. Like, bro, I got irritable bowel syndrome, man. Like,
well, take that shit to the restroom. I'm sorry.
I'm stunting on these motherfuckers. I mean, yeah, that's what we'll be doing, man. So that's where I'm at. I think that's where I'm going to stay, bro, heading into the draft. Like, I think I'm going to stay team trade-off for Brock. Get Brock at whatever cost. PFF has him falling to 18. Can't take that risk. I can't do it. Look, he's a generational talent. We said the same thing about Byron Bijan Robinson last year, right? Mm-hmm. Running back value. Like, yeah, he's a generational talent. Like, you agree. You'd ask anybody that knew Ball. He's a generational talent, right? Yeah, you know, arguably one of the best ones since AP 28. Bro, I remember us Bengals fans were like, is he going to be there at 28? Bro, he went 7.
Right.
Bro, like, you don't let generational talents fall. I can't take that chance. So, yep, that's where I'm at, bro.
Man, hopefully someone in that top 10. Man, I think if the run on quarterbacks go, you know, early in first few picks, I think there's a chance that he could fall a little bit. Not to 18, yeah. Though. Not to 18. I can't see in any world he falls to 18.
Nah, yeah. I just don't. It could happen. Why take the risk? Right. When you got 10 picks,
right?
Secure it, get your guys. So, yeah, man. Look, guys, we're fucking 3 weeks out, you know, as we're recording at almost 4 a.m. on Thursday morning. You know, it is what the fuck o'clock for me. But we're 3 weeks away from the draft. It's a fun time. You know, as one window closes, another one opens. So, yeah, I'll probably go ahead and do it for this episode. Any closing thoughts you got, bro?
I guess I'm riding with you, man. I guess we're gonna have to reinvent. Actually, no. I mean, we're just gonna have to put the Drew Sample Mobile up for a little bit, bro. We're gonna have to break out the fucking black Cadillac, fucking SUV, like straight Brock Bowers season, like the confidential, straight presidential pulling up in this bitch. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, gosh, bro, Brock Bowers, man, it'd be fun.
Look, bro, we're gonna have to pull up in the Brock Bentley, and soon it may turn into a Brock Bugatti.
Okay,
that's the type of dude we're
after
talking.
The first contract, he in the Brock Bugatti.
Yep. Yeah, the little Brocky Bugatti. So right now it's a little Brock Bentley.
Hey, I didn't even think about this. People were wondering, you know, why the Bengals got so much cap space. You know, obviously I know they can extend Jamar and Money Max, stuff like that, but you got that money, so that means you could pay a higher rookie contract if you move up.
Yeah, you could, like, I don't know if it's that big of a difference, but I know it is a million or two. So, yeah, I mean, you just keep adding to all of it, bro.
Yeah.
If there was a fucking time, if you laid out hypothetical scenarios if you were at a dinner with Duke Tobin and you said, look at me, bro, no fucking bullshit, no media to fumigate your opinion. In a hypothetical world, what would you do for a generational prospect like this? You got 10 picks.
He'd be like, oh, you know.
Oh, no. Draft picks. I can't get. Bro, get the fuck. Bro, I'd be fucking dumping his fucking butter pie on him, bro. From Jeff Ruby's. Like, you get out of here, bro. Like, look, you got 10 picks, old fart. Like, man, it fucking tore me apart to fucking draft. You know, trade up for fucking.
Brock, you
know, whatever his name is, Steve TV. I'm like, bro, grow up, bro.
I don't want to have to be that bad to trade up for a guy like that.
I know, dude. He's like, man, it tore me apart. Of course. Fucking God, you guys are so fucking lame. But look, dude, Mr. Lame Boy Dookie, Mr. Dookie Tobin, this is the year to do it. And hey, if it happens, I'm a champion that shit to the end of time, because Brock Bowers are going to break the league. So that'll go ahead and do it. Appreciate y'all for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. As I said, 3 weeks out, me and Drake kind of took a bit hiatus this past week. We may drop another episode this week or so, but, you know, probably 2 weeks leading up to the draft, shit's really going to start heating up. So it's going to be a fun time, bro. I'm excited.
Let's get it, bro. 3 weeks away.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you and appreciate y'all for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace.
Peace.